Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 15. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And this week we have a very special guest from our like biggest fans, apparently.
That's what
Mr. Yeah. Billy Flynn.
It's Billy Flynn. Hey.
Yay!
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Yes.
Hey, anytime.
Are you recovering from your Halo 3 hangover, Billy?
Oh yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I've got one level left to go, so it's happiness mixed with sadness. But what you gonna do?
Oh yeah, I'm kind of there. I'm working towards it.
Well, it takes 6-7 hours. Come on.
I know that. Okay, brief rant. I'm paying $60 for a game that lasts that long. Just saying.
They figure you're gonna play the online.
Okay.
Okay. It's worth it. I got the Pelican. Deal with it.
Oh well, that's true. You got me there. You got me there. All right, but this isn't a game show, so I suppose we should talk about some theatrical releases for this past weekend.
I guess we should. First, we had Robert Benton's new film, Feast of Love, with Morgan Freeman and Greg Kinnear. The Rock doing the Kindergarten Cop routine with a game plan. The new film by Peter Berg, the great director of Friday Night Lights, The Kingdom. And in Limited, the Darjeeling Limited, as well as the NC-17 Lust Caution by Ang Lee.
Didn't see any.
Me neither.
No, sadly. It was Halo.
Yeah, Halo.
Well, and DVDs.
Well, this is true, too, yeah. Well, let's move on to DVDs, because we're more likely to catch those right now, I think.
All right, well, the DVD release for this week, we had Ken Burns' The War, his sensational new documentary, the Uber special edition of Jungle Book, the two-disc special edition, including all sorts of crappy extras you don't want, and the movie you do, Fantastic Voyage 2, The Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Fantastic Four to you.
Did I say that right?
You said Fantastic Voyage 2.
Did I?
That'd be kind of interesting, though.
Let's try that again.
It would be much better.
Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer, in regular edition, and the Power Cosmic Special Edition, because you know you want the Power Cosmic Special Edition.
Looks like a plow. Is that what it does?
I don't know if it's going to help the movie, but there you go. And then the three-disc Caligula Special Edition. Why you need three discs for this piece of crap movie? Don't be fooled, folks like me. Don't be fooled. Just because Peter O'Toole and John Gielgud and Malcolm McDowell are in this movie, it does not make it a good movie. This is made by Bob Guccione. Well, if you know who Bob Guccione is, then you're probably running right now to get this special edition. But do not be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine the movie Troy with no action and a lot of,
explicit then, sex,
to say the least. And then 1408 premiering in a regular and two disc director's cut special edition.
So cool. The cool thing about 1408 is like disc one is like the regular disc one, and disc two has a special has the director's cut, so you get both editions.
Cool. That is.
And it's only like 6 minutes longer.
Okay, that's not too bad, because I was afraid it was going to be like a whole more hour of like surrealistic crap. Like, how much more can they possibly shoehorn into that movie? So good.
I think they fleshed out some stuff. I'm curious to see it.
Oh, good.
What was that?
There was the times he ordered room service. We didn't get to see that.
Okay.
The movie needed those scenes, too, so I'm so glad they're back in. Thank goodness. I was so lost.
There you go. You know, it's kind of a slow DVD week.
It really, really is. Yeah, I mean, you know, I enjoyed The Rise of the Silver Surfer. I did, but enough to even watch it again this year? Not really. Yeah. And Ken Burns' The War, I know that was just on PBS the other day.
They actually did like a day and date release.
Okay.
Like I flipped on the TV this morning, started watching it, and I'm watching Jazz too, so I just started getting sucked in right away because it's the same guy doing the voiceover, and he's awesome.
Yeah, because you know, it looks terrific, but like having just watched it, I don't really feel the need to run out and get it. And The Jungle Book, I mean, how many times have we seen The Jungle Book?
But I gotta own it.
But these extra special editions, Dave, are atrocious. Like, I told you, it's like this young teeny bop band doing their version of I Want to Be Like You. And yeah. It has these cheeseball games. Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's... Yeah. It's a great movie surrounded by a lot of needless crap.
And what Disney release isn't?
Louis Prima singing, you know, then I would get that.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Louis Prima, yes. But some guy off of, like, Disney Radio, no.
Zac Efron is
now. Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to hear Hannah Montana singing like the songs from Jungle Book.
I would say there goes part of our listening audience, but I'm thinking not so much.
Some pissed off 13-year-old girl is like, screw this, just turn it off.
Go back to Lizzie McGuire, you jerks.
All right, let's go into some news.
All right, well,
you might as well do the biggest news, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is this the biggest? Jessica Biel said no to the Justice League of America film, so she said no to George Miller and the WB and Wonder Woman. I say good for her. Good. I don't want this movie to happen. I want it to be a completely unknown cast. I think somebody like her would honestly take it out of the balance, even though I wouldn't say that she's a tremendous acting talent, honestly. I mean, other than The Illusionist, can she carry a movie?
No.
I'd agree. Here's my worry. They offered it to her in the first place.
It doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't. You're gonna see Zac Efron as the Flash.
Sean William Scott is Captain America.
In the JLA, wrong companies.
Oh, the flag got thrown. Dun, dun. But yeah, this really does worry me. I mean, people are saying that the script is really cool, but if you don't cast it right, and now I'm hearing Jon Stewart's gonna be the Green Lantern.
Oh no,
it's really? A geek nitpick, but. I know you're a big GL fan, Mr. Flynn. What's your take on this theory?
We're going to get our Hal Jordan in the next DC animated movie to DVD. So
yeah.
I guess there for everybody else, they only know the Cartoon Network lineup, and they put Jon Stewart in there, who was a good GL, but they didn't get the character right. No, they didn't. They just threw him in there for ethnicity's sake, just to say, look, kids, we're balanced, and we don't have anyone dumb like Black Lightning. So. If they could do it, but no one's got his character right yet.
No, because he was like an architect originally, wasn't he?
Yes, he was an architect.
So he'd like come up with these really cool, really deep, intricate constructs, and he was very much about the civil rights movement and stuff, and now he just looks like, you know, oh, drill sergeant. You know, that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Hal Jordan, even in the Green Lantern Rebirth, when he's describing how everybody uses their ring a different way because John was an architect, he's like, you could see every nut, every bolt, every rivet. He builds it from the inside out kind of thing. And I've never seen any cartoon do justice to that, or really to any of the Green Lanterns.
But we're going to see it in this first. No.
Hey, it's got to be better than the live-action Justice League pilot. So we got to give it that.
We hope.
Yeah.
I don't believe I heard David Ogden Stiers is back to reprise his role as the Martian Manhunter, so I think we're fine.
Oh, there you go. Ouch.
Like Jeanette Gut in that nice green gut. Ooh, that was scary.
Beautiful stuff. Well, to go from one kind of questionable casting decision to another, apparently Mike Vogel has been announced, or he's in talks or rumored to be the next Captain Kirk.
Yes, this is an official rumor. It's an official rumor. I think they might be just sending this out just to see what the geeks are going to say about it.
I don't think the cred helps. You know, Poseidon... Havoc, Grounded for Life, Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, Grind. I'm sorry, I missed that one.
Grind. What was Grind?
It's like a skater movie or something.
Oh, Grind. Yeah.
But I wasn't going to go for it. That's true. It's the skating movie. Okay.
Yes. But he is in Cloverfield or whatever the heck it's called.
See, that's why.
He's the lead in Cloverfield. So.
Yeah.
Still willing to trust JJ.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like going with unknowns. I really trust that. I wish the makers of JLA would, you know, look at the Zack Snyder playbook for how he's been casting Watchmen. Good, reliable actors, good character actors, and really interesting roles in Watchmen, as opposed to being like, okay, who was on the WB and really cool about 5 years ago? Ooh, Jessica Biel and Katie Holmes and James Vanderbeek is the Hulk. Yeah, you know.
Ah.
Sorry. didn't mean to hurt you, Billy.
Dude.
That was like... You unleashed your like geek rage there. It was awesome.
I'm worried about JLA, but yeah, like Billy, I still have a lot of faith in this project, and certainly guy I never heard of before, but he's certainly done his dues as an actor and done, I'm sure, reliable work and crappy movies. Hey, that's good enough for me. I'm sure he's got what it takes.
And Billy had something interesting that really isn't news.
But... Yeah, this is interesting stuff. Let's hear this.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
We had to talk about it.
I found a trailer for a movie made in 1972 that apparently not only does no one even know about it, IMDb doesn't know about it. It's this lost little thing called An American Hippie in Israel. And it looks... if I just came up to you and then just showed this to you, you would think it was like some left-off trailer from Grindhouse, because it looks like a Grindhouse thing. You've got a hippie who gets frustrated. He gets it. They sent me to Vietnam, man, who gets bummed out, goes decides, I'm going to go build my own little mecca in the desert, because you can't build a mecca in the city. And apparently there's killer mimes trying to kill the hippies, and there's nudity in the trailer, and that's probably the only reason it got made. But it looks to be very sincere. It looks like it has just bombastic, crazy dialogue. It's just got people preaching the hippie movement in a sincere way in Israel. I want to see it so bad.
And then you had the William Wallace moment.
It's going to make it. It's going to put it out finally.
Are they? Oh, man.
Yeah, this is exciting news, because as you said, Billy, this is, you know, whether it's crap or not, this is a serious lost film that has just been discovered, really, and we're finally going to get to see it. And you said it was only released in one place?
They said that it was only shown throughout the 1980s in a single theater in Tel Aviv. It was made by first and last time director Amos Sefer with an Israeli cast. It follows a Vietnam vet seeking to make a desert utopia that quickly devolves into a hellish struggle for survival.
I wonder if Amos even remembers making this movie.
Probably
he's
not.
He's like, no, man, I don't remember what I did in the 60s, man. I have no idea.
See, what, no, man, I spent 70 to 74 in an opium haze. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, seriously, listeners, if you loved Grindhouse,
yeah, check you got to see put up.
If you saw the movie The Beach and you wish it had a lot more nudity and just a lot more hippie rhetoric, this is the movie for you. This movie looks like so much fun. I can't wait to see it. Seriously, this is one of the funniest trailers I've seen in a long time. This is good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I thank you and I curse you at the same time, Mr. Flynn.
Hey.
Bring in the funky.
Yeah.
My last bit of news is that the WALL-E trailer has come out for the new Pixar film, WALL-E.
How's that look? I haven't seen it yet.
I've got it up right here. Actually, it looks like something out of Short Circuit.
Ah.
Have you seen this, Flynn?
No. This is what? WALL-E?
It's WALL-E.
Oh.
It's the, it looks, I want to see it. It's like a sci-fi Pixar film, but it, seriously, you can't, like, help but notice the Short Circuit references.
Stephanie, more input!
Wow. Okay,
so it's got Elder Barr singing in the background, you're saying?
Who's Steve Johnny?
On the side.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. It looks exactly like Johnny Five. It really does.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But will it be as good as Short Circuit 2? That is my concern.
When he got blinked out?
It couldn't be much worse than Cars.
This is true.
Which I haven't seen yet still.
Really?
I can't muster the desire to see it.
All right, well, I got two last pieces of news. Speaking of trailers, our own Marty McFly is making a movie, and the teaser trailer popped up on YouTube. You could find it under Salivate teaser trailer. The movie is officially called Salivate. It is a vampire thriller. I'd be pimping this movie even if this wasn't my brother making this movie, because seriously, this looks like an interesting film. I've read the screenplay. This is dark and very darkly comic. I've described it in a really superficial way, saying it's kind of like The Rules of Attraction with fangs. It is a vampire thriller, and it's looking really, really, really good. The trailer I thought was very promising, and this is just with the rough footage Marty's come up with after just a few weeks of filming. He's probably going to be shooting throughout the rest of the year, but yeah, please, folks, remember, Salivate in 2008. Looks like it's going to be a good film. And finally, the Dirty Dozen remake has been announced. I like Joel Silver. I always have his name attached to the title. You could always count on explosions, car chases, and nudity. Gotta love Joel Silver. This year, he produced the unfortunate, disappointing remake of The Invasion. Well, he's producing a remake of The Dirty Dozen. The screenplay apparently was leaked online to some readers. And apparently, it's a modern update of The Dirty Dozen. So apparently, the Dozen take on Al-Qaeda. Now... It's one thing if Lee Marvin was, like, you know, choke-slamming Osama bin Laden. That's one thing. But, yeah, apparently everyone who's read the screenplay says this is like, one of the bad, bad ideas to come out of Hollywood in a while. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Who's going to be your who's going to be your B-list cast of guys for The Dozen?
Because
I see Dane Cook in there somewhere.
Dane Cook. I guess that's good luck, Chuck. He can only go down at this point.
John Cena.
Louis Gossett Jr. I'd be watching it, man. if the Dirty Dozen was led by the Marine, I'd be watching it.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I feel that Marine love for you, man.
That's the funniest movie ever. I love that movie.
That was last... Screw Borat. I thought that was last year's funniest movie, period. I love the Marine.
Guy's like Terminator.
It's like I never knew that Al Qaeda had a full military base.
Yeah. That's why they can't find them. They're looking for caves and stuff. They're not looking at bases.
God. They just need to send in John Cena, man.
Right. Try to threaten his family first. Osama bin Laden threatened your wife. Go get him. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think that's all the news we got, so let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Get your geek on in a Geek Label t-shirt. Shirts for gamers, geeks, and tech heads. If you like games, movies, computers, or comics, we've got your new t-shirt waiting for you. Let Geek Label change your life. You can go from...
Oh, hell no.
To...
Oh, hell yeah.
In the blink of a t-shirt. And the best part, every design is available in all kinds of silky, smooth colors and shirt styles. Short and long sleeve tees, and for the ladies, ringers, raglans, ladies tees, even spaghetti strap tees. Feel fly, walk tall, be irresistible to the opposite sex. Died, even we can't do all that. Hundreds of designs and they're all off the hook, yo. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest, cause that's how we roll. Get your geek on at Geek Label. That's one word, geeklabel.com.
Well, this week we're talking about the fall films of 2007, the big, big fall season.
Is it fall and winter or just fall? I don't know. We're going through the end of the year pretty
much. I always just say fall period. And
yeah.
Yeah, about October through December.
There you go.
With a few January releases for good measure.
There we go. So what we're looking forward to, what's going to suck, which there's quite a bit on the list.
There's some potentially really, really sucky ones there, but there's some really great ones. Thankfully, there's some serious directors making some serious comebacks after years and years of nothing. All of a sudden, we've got Cronenberg and Paul Thomas Anderson and a lot of directors looking like they're really returning to form. So this is a really exciting season, actually.
All right, cool. So we're not talking about next week's films because we'll get to those.
Yes.
But we're going to start with the next week and go through the end of the year and go from there.
Very good. And there's a few that Dave did not put on his list that I will jump on him about later.
Ah, crud. Okay, I guess I'll start with the week of October 19th. Have you got anything on that one that I missed?
I don't think so. Haha.
Okay.
You're good so far.
Yay. All right, so we've got 30 Days of Night, The Comebacks. Which one?
30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gone Baby Gone, Rendition, Sarah Landon and the Paranormal Hour, which is not at all a Harry Potter ripoff.
No.
Things We Lost in the Fire, and then what's going to become a yearly release, I guess, The Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D. So, okay, is this from reading the book, Billy, for 30 Days?
Oh, yeah, 30 Days of Night. Nice little comic. There's been a bunch of sequels to it in comic form where they've expanded the storyline, and now it's all watered down. But that original idea is going to make one hell of a film.
Okay. Is it something that you really can't even talk about without spoiling the film? Or
the basic concept of it is, here's your only spoiler warning. We've got a vampire movie. We've got a vampire movie that takes place in Alaska where they have, as the title says, 30 days of night. So vampires walking around for a month with just the rule of the town. And the little bit of survivors that try to make it through those 30 days.
Okay,
and here's why I think it's going to flop. Two words, Josh Hartnett.
See, I didn't want to say that. I keep trying to pretend like he's not in it, but there was a point where there was some movie, what movie? I don't even remember. He's been in so much crap now. There was a point where I thought maybe he was going to step outside and actually be a halfway interesting leading guy. But, well, Sin City could be. I forget he was in that. But yeah, he's in a bunch of crap, and this could be his breakthrough, because this isn't some stupid little teen romantic comedy, blah, blah, blah. This is in-your-face blood and drama, and this could almost be, if it's filmed right, could be a John Carpenter film. And I really wish John Carpenter was attached to it, because he would be great at this, and he would make it work no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
He made Ghost of Mars halfway interesting.
Yes, he did.
Halfway.
I gotta say, I can't wait to see Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah.
I want to see what Affleck does as a director.
Yeah, Gone Baby Gone and Rendition are my two for this week. I'm looking for even Rendition, which got really kind of so-so reviews from the film festival circuits, but, you know, it's Meryl Streep and Reese Witherspoon and Gyllenhaal, and then Gone Baby Gone, which looks fantastic, and the word has been even better on Gone Baby Gone. So, yeah, I'm all for Mr. Affleck making the Josh Hartnett-like comeback we hope that he can make. So.
Exactly. Why don't you take the next week, Barry?
Well, the following week, October 26th, we've got Steve Carell and Dane Cook, the aforementioned Dane Cook and Dan in Real Life, because you asked for it and you deserve it for making the first three a hit, Saw 4, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, and The Signal. I'm trying to remember. This is a really good director who did The Devil Knows You're Dead. Who is that?
I don't know. Oh, that's my cue to look it up. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry. Do you know who did The Signal? Okay, because Before the Devil Knows You're Dead is supposed to be excellent. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman and...
Sidney Lumet?
It is Sidney Lumet. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 80-something years old, and apparently it's supposed to be a really good movie. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman...
...recognize the robbery of their parents' jewelry store. The job goes horribly wrong, triggering a series of events that sends them and their father and one brother's wife hurtling towards a shattering climax.
Yeah, I've heard it's like the movie that We Own the Night tries to be, that this is a seriously terrific movie that's just going to knock people out when they see it.
I think it's just because of Saw 4. I just want to stay away from movies that week.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on, no. Come on. You're way too hard on Saw movies. Way too.
Am I?
Yeah. Go back and look at the crap that the Friday the 13th turned into, and then look at what Saw has done. That's not nearly the amount of crap. That's not a Friday the 13th Part 3 in one of those movies. There's not. You can't find a Friday the 13th Part 3 in the entire Saw franchise.
I could have fun, though, watching those Friday the 13th movies with their cheesy 80s outfits and awful acting and soap opera appearances and, you know, the way Jason seemingly will never stop rising from the dead, as opposed to a girl who, like, falls into a vat of syringes. I just don't find that fun.
That should have been an Army of One commercial right there. The facts you overcame that. Right there it is.
There you go.
I just want to see what we're going to do with it. It looks like we're going to go toward maybe prequel territory with this one. If so, that'll kill it. We won't have to worry about it because you can't explain the monster. You just can't. Mm.
Well, did you – well, that's very true.
Yeah.
Did you see the autopsy trailer?
No.
Okay.
Pretty disgusting, I must say. I mean, it was no A Hippie in Jerusalem trailer, but it was, you know, memorable for what it was.
Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb. If you see this trailer, I think they're setting it up as Jigsaw's final test game, whatever. And then they're going to introduce whoever the new person is and go from there. But okay. I don't think they can do Saw without Jigsaw.
I want there to be the regular puppet and a girl puppet. That's what I want. I think it would be really cute if they were just like two little evil puppets.
You want Seed of Jigsaw, okay? Just admit it.
Oh, absolutely.
Seed Saw, that's what we'll call it.
Go right along with teeth.
All right, Dan in Real Life, I think, looks interesting because, you know, this is Steve Carell, you know, not doing Get Smart, not doing Evan Almighty, but doing kind of a serial comic movie. I mean, at best, this could be a real sleeper. But on the other hand, it looks like it could almost be like The Last Kiss, like kind of a bummer, not really the romantic comedy people are expecting.
It looks like Michael Scott takes a road trip. And I wouldn't be totally opposed to that.
If that's what it was, I'm there.
I wanted to have a little more meat to it, but I was like, wow, Michael Scott just decided to leave the office for a week. Okay.
All right. Let's move on to November 2nd. This is actually a week that has like something for everyone.
Yeah, serious week.
The big three would be American Gangster, B-Movie, and Martian Child.
Yeah. Yeah, Martian Child is 2 years old. I know John Cusack made this before 1408, and it's really smart that they're releasing this after 1408 to go on the momentum that John Cusack's career is on right now. And I've heard really mixed things about it. So to me, that's like that could either be really terrific or it'd be on DVD before Valentine's Day. But it looks like a good film.
It does, and if it's Cusack doing something serious, I've got to be there.
Absolutely.
And B-Movie, you know, here's the one thing. Seinfeld isn't known for putting out crap. So that's the one hope I'm holding that this isn't like another Shrek.
Yeah, he could have done a terrible sitcom or a bad romantic comedy how many times over, but instead he's done this movie that he's been working on for years. They've, you know, put out certainly some very memorable trailers. I think this looks like a real winner.
What do you think of these?
I'll keep my fingers crossed for B-Movie because, like you said, he doesn't really go out of his way to make the quick buck, cheap, bad stuff. Yeah. But I haven't been blown away by the trailers. Especially after having that very first one where we get the live action and he's talking to Spielberg. I must have saw that, like, what, 12 times? And I got really tired of that.
Fair enough.
It's an animated movie. Guys, can you get me that? I got really tired of that. But, the concept, after what they finally told us after 6 months of that same preview, what the concept actually was, that sounds like a pretty cool little movie. It could be fun.
Yeah.
But and, we all you know, see American Gangster.
You know, I wouldn't have until 310 to Yuma.
Really?
That made me want to see a Russell Crowe movie again.
Because
I'm just not a big fan. And Denzel, you know, Denzel's always good for something, but
I'll see anything with Denzel in it. But I'm with you on Russell Crowe. After a good year, I'm just like, this guy really has to work his way back into my heart. And he did after 3:10.
So then for Christmas, Barry, I'm going to get you the super special DVD edition of Carbon Copy.
Okay.
Love your Denzel. You can watch anything with him. Dang. Yeah.
Okay. I revise. Unless it has the titles like Virtuosity or Heart Condition or what was that other piece of crap? Ricochet. He's done some bad movies. I'll admit that. Some really bad movies. But lately, he's been on an upturn, I think.
That's true. That is true.
Yes. All right. I have to talk about the next week. Too bad Josh isn't here because we've got After Dark's Horror Fest 2, which couldn't be a whole lot worse than 1, I guess.
Or...
Don't throw that.
You know, wow. Then you got Fred Claus. What? No. Okay.
So we've got the crap out of the way. Keep going.
Then we got... I keep wanting to say you ain't woman enough to take my man, but it's I could never be your woman.
I love that song, too.
Lions for Lambs, No Country for Old Men from the Coen Brothers, and Richard Kelly's Southland Tales. That is the same week as Fountain last year.
Mm. Yeah. And Southland Tales, I mean, I'll just spoil it now. This is my number one pick of the fall season. I can't wait to see this thing. I've literally been waiting years to see this dang thing. You know, it's no coincidence that it's opening a week, you know, a year after the time the Fountain got released. It could either be a masterpiece, a complete mess, or somewhere in the middle. But I can't wait to see this movie, you know, from this visionary director. And this whole week is fantastic. I mean, I really want to see No Country for Old Men. I've heard that's excellent.
It couldn't be any worse than, you know, Intolerable Cruelty. And
apparently it's a masterpiece. It's supposed to be like a real return to form for the Coen brothers, which is great. I'm dying to see Lions for Lambs. I hear the script is really good. I like Tom Cruise. I like Meryl Streep. And, you know, I Can Never Be Your Woman. I've got a lot of faith in that one, but that's another old one. It's been pushed around the release schedule a lot. I don't know if they're getting out here at this time because they really think it's a serious Oscar contender or if there's just no other place for it. But I'm curious. Paul Rudd and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
So.
And then sounds good.
Fred Claus. No. Oh.
Fred Claus. No, no, no.
Okay, so I'm sure you heard us talk about this. Do you agree that – have you ever had a bigger turnaround from a teaser trailer to a regular trailer?
You mean you were impressed with the teaser for Fred Claus?
Correct.
Yes, we were. Just when it was just Paul Giamatti and Vince Vaughn just sitting down in character riffing. I think it came out like in January. I thought
my wife and I looked at each other and she said to me, and it's totally the most true thing ever. She's like, that's either going to be the funniest thing ever or the stupidest piece of crap put to film.
And then we saw the theatrical trailer and got our confirmation.
I think your wife is right about the latter. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it looks like they're borrowing quite a bit from Santa Claus the movie there.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant like the Tim Allen. Yeah, Santa Claus the movie. Yeah, I could roll with you there.
It's got that feel to it there where it wants you to believe that it's just going to be this uproarious, fun time, and you see money on the screen, but you don't see anything else, like a story or heart or warmth or connectivity in any way.
Well, absolutely. You got Kevin Spacey playing the John Lithgow role. Absolutely.
Wow.
If they just
I saw Santa Claus the movie in the theater, so I got to like throw my Santa Claus the movie cred in there while I can. So
I'm sorry about that.
Me too. It was a rough Christmas that year.
Apparently. Wow. Did you get a box of smokes for Christmas too? Good. What did you do?
My brother got coal that year for Christmas. I'll just say this from poor Marty McFly. Yeah, Marty was kind of bad that year, and they had Santa Claus come to the house, and they actually had Santa Claus give Marty a little thing of coal because he was really bad that year. And Santa Claus actually gave Marty a little lecture about good boys and bad boys. But Marty right now is making a hardcore vampire movie. So clearly he said, screw you, Santa Claus, and he went his own way. So I'm proud of Marty.
There you go. I don't need your charity, Claus. Back off, Batman.
All right, then November 16th, we've got Robert Zemeckis' Beowulf and Mr. Magorium's Wonder Vomitorium, which I could care less about.
Oh, it's got counter program, right? That's going to be great. Troy McClure never made a bad film.
Well.
What, this is not a Troy McClure film?
Unfortunately.
Oh, okay. I thought this was the movie he gave up being the sidekick in McBain for.
I mean, talk about two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
between these two.
Yeah, you've got a very, very whimsical movie that clearly is screaming out to kids and may not get there. Then you got a movie that kids will probably flock to and it'll scare the crap out of them.
I really don't know which one you mean now.
I know. What is scary? Angelina Jolie with a tail, or Dustin Hoffman with that scary hairdo?
Well, but Natalie Portman's in it too.
Yeah, but Natalie Portman, I mean, how many bad movies has she done? I mean, you know, at first I always go to the fence, you know, for Natalie Portman. Then, like, gosh, I mean, yeah, you know, around the time of, like, Where the Heart Is and Anywhere But Here, I swear, like, the quality started to go down.
You didn't like Garden State?
I love Garden State, but I think Garden State, we need to look at Mr. Braff and not Natalie Portman for how great that movie was. But she was good in that film, no question.
Yeah. I mean, you can give her eternal amounts of crap just for Star Wars.
Lots of crap for Star Wars.
Well, what? She was so warm and believable in that.
The most believable scene is where we're not talking. How sad.
So basically, everyone's going to go see Beowulf unless it's sold out, and then maybe they'll take the kids to Mr. Magoo's Wonder Zoo or whatever it is.
I'm waiting to see how many high school teachers, like, screen this movie to tell their kids, oh, it's a great movie just because it's something based off, you know, classic literature.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I'm going to be there for sure. I have to.
Even if it's a big hit, I can't imagine it causing this great resurgence in Beowulf, because I've read Beowulf, and even though I admire Beowulf, it's a tough read.
Yeah.
This, you know, this isn't like everybody like going to see a John Grisham movie, like, oh, let's read the book. This is like reading one of the most difficult, the oldest story in all the English language. You know, Shakespeare is easy to read. It's easier to read compared to Beowulf.
So you don't think the Oprah Book Club?
No, because no woman dies of cancer at the end of Beowulf, so no one's going to want that.
Oh, damn.
Wow, he went there.
He did. You know, I've got to – but I'm thinking, like, you know, like the poor, like, really nerdy English teachers who have no concept of how to connect with their kids. You know, not any of your friends, Flynn, because I know that your wife and friends are all teachers. So they're all excluded, obviously.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I figure I should put that out there so we don't get hurt at some point.
I think Beowulf is going to open up at number one. But then depending, like, either it's going to be critically acclaimed and people are going to love it, and it's going to, you know, be this niche movie that's going to play really well throughout the holidays, be the 300 for, you know, that Christmas season, or it's going to open really big, it's going to scare the crap out of America, and it's going to, you know, it's going to be gone by Christmas.
I kind of hope for the latter.
I'm too afraid to see it in 3D. I told you, Josh and I saw 20 minutes of it at Comic-Con in 3D with the glasses on, and we were really uncomfortable. Like, you know, this is... You know, we like a good, you know, gore, booby action movie, but this was too much even for us, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good testimonial for me. Very good to handle this film. Oh, I'm there.
It's going to be a litmus test for a lot of people, so I'm really curious to see how it does. I mean, don't get me wrong, it looks like a solid film, but I just wonder, who is this film for? And I wonder if it's going to find the audience, especially when, you know, during the most competitive movie season of the year. So.
They're also releasing the game, and, you know, the game is going to drive people into the theaters as well, because if it's anywhere near the hack and slash action from what we've seen in those clips, they're going to get the game audience in on it too. And they're just going to look at it as one big game, one big cutscene.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that happened with some of the Final Fantasy movie, and that went well. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, it's all about quality. You know, even if they release, like, Halo 3, the movie, this weekend, you know, if the movie is any good, then it'll do its time. But if it ends up being, like, another Doom, then, you know.
Come on. Dwayne Johnson sold that movie. He made that movie.
That guy could sell almost anything.
I saw it because of him. I really did. The theaters to see that.
You didn't see it for Carl Urban? I'm shocked.
No. I even brought a controller with me, so I could pretend I... Yeah, absolutely, maybe. I knew what that movie was going in.
That's true. If you thought it wasn't going to be anything more than it was, you were fooling yourself.
True.
So, okay. Let's move on to the 21st of November. We've got August Rush, Christmas in Wonderland, Enchanted, Hitman, The Mist... And I'm not there in limited release.
Gosh, that is a season for every possible member of the audience. My goodness.
So what do you think of Hitman? I got to ask you, sir.
The game or the movie?
The movie, what you've seen so far.
I think, what's his name, Timothy Oliphant?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's not quite right from what I've seen. In the actual movie, he might just, you know, just kick ass and whatnot, but every time I see him, he's got this look on his face like he's trying to squeeze back a growler. And I keep thinking, you're supposed to be this smooth, cold-as-steel agent. Nothing should really look like it's affecting you at all unless you're in the midst of a blazing gun battle. And he just... to be nice to it, maybe it's going to be fantastic, but when I see the trailer for that, it almost looks like a made-for-TV movie.
Absolutely. I can't help but think of Live Free or Die Hard and what a whiny little girl he was in that movie.
Yeah, it's like... I don't know. Could they not pay Jason Statham enough money to do it? Is that what it was? Is that why we didn't get him? Because that's what we all wanted in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
I love the trailer just because I get to close my eyes and listen to Ave Maria. I appreciate that. But then I open my eyes and I see Mr. Clean shooting people. I just, I'm not excited.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and lathers in it. You know how many games Ave Maria has been used in now? Especially mob and shooting games. It's fantastic.
This is true. It's kind of like the Looney Tunes back in the 60s, you know, the 50s and 60s, introducing people to classical music.
That's right.
So that's not what we're going to watch. We're going to go watch The Mist.
I can't wait to see The Mist. Can't wait.
Story. It was done as a very excellent 3D radio play adaptation.
Yes, I have that, and it's so good.
Dude, I used to listen to that in the car all the time. It was fantastic in a car because it threw it to all the speakers. It was beautiful. It's always been a great, great story, and we've got a director that's turned in solid adaptations of Stephen King before. This is going to be a good movie. Yeah, absolutely a good movie.
Couldn't agree with you more, Billy. From the very brief clips I saw at Comic-Con, and you know, just again knowing the seriousness that Darabont has given this project, serious actors in this film, not a movie that's led by an anchor movie star, but by actors.
By Tom Welling. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And they're keeping it.
Shia LaBeouf nowhere near this movie.
They're keeping that big ending plot twist super quiet. They're saying it's got one of the most devastating, shocking endings in a studio movie in years. The test screenings have been fantastic. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good movie.
Cool. Is anyone looking forward to Enchanted, like, at all?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Just because I want to be the one who's looking forward to Enchanted.
Oh, there you go.
That trailer made me mad when I saw it.
Made you angry?
It did. What was that movie that had... Was it Meg Ryan? Not Meg Ryan. Couldn't have been Meg Ryan. I can't think of where the guy comes back. He comes to the future from... He was some count or nobleman.
Yeah.
Kate and Leopold.
Yes. It looks like this, but with Disney movies.
Hmm.
And I wasn't that big of a fan of that one in the first place. So,
I thought you were going to say Cool World.
Oh, there's that. If it's going to be a little more tongue-in-cheek, maybe. But right now it looks like it's going to play to the same tired-and-true formula that they use for these things, only acknowledging that they're using it. Depending on how they acknowledge it will depend on how much I enjoy it.
Fair enough.
I'm looking forward to because I understand from everyone who's seen it that Amy Adams in the lead actually gives a really, really unique and special performance, not simply just doing something cutesy, but actually creates a real character, very much like what Reese Witherspoon did in Legally Blonde, creates a real character that audiences, you know, develop some sympathy for and really enjoy. And I do like Patrick Dempsey. I've been a fan of his ever since Run back in 1991. And, you know, I would rather see something like this than... Then the other movie that's coming out that week, Christmas in Wonderland, which is so gag-inducing.
The title is gag-inducing.
Just to read the description. I mean, I know Peter O'Toole's in it, so I shouldn't bash anything with the Mr. Tool, but I would rather see something unique and interesting rather than something like Christmas in Wonderland, which is coming soon to the $5 bin at Walmart.
Something like I'm Not There, which is going to get a limited release that week.
I can't wait to see I'm Not There because it's such a crazy, crazy, borderlining stupid idea for a movie, but it sounds so interesting. And apparently Cate Blanchett just blows the roof off playing Bob Dylan. So, yeah, I'm very curious. And August Rush looks like a piece of crap. I'm sorry. I don't care if he finds his mom or not. Robin Williams.
That's what kills it.
Yeah, exactly. The second he pops up in that trailer, I'm just like, no. I'm not going to see that.
Be so
the kid
nice
looks promising.
Be funny again.
It would be nice.
Yeah. Or serious. If he does another, you know, 1 hour photo, I'm there.
Okay. Yeah. As long as he's not being Robin Williams, it would be a good talk.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, shall we move on to November 30th?
Yes, November 30th. You get Alyssa Milano headlining Pathology. Why? Thomas Kincaid's The Christmas Cottage.
Why?
And then The Savages, a critically acclaimed indie film. And Teeth.
That's all you need to say.
That's all I can say about Teeth.
Teeth. Are you prepared for Teeth? The movie that will bite your soul. Teeth.
Never mind.
This reminds me of a couple decades ago when they did a movie called Me and Him, and it never got released in America because no one knew how to promote it. It was Me and Him, Griffin Dunn from American Werewolf in London, played a guy whose penis talked to him. Yeah. And they never, you know, and the penis was voiced by, what's his name? The head lead actor of Perfect Strangers, not Bronson Pinchot, but the other guy, Mark Lynn Baker. Awful. Yeah, Mark Lynn Baker. Yeah, and the movie was terrible. But, like, I thought at least they could open the movie because, I mean, the premise was so outrageous. But, I don't know, Teeth might have kind of an uphill battle because other than, like, a few creepy pervy guys, no woman is going to want to see Teeth.
This is not going to be the women's lib movie. Are you kidding?
This is not going to be the date movie of the year.
Oh, of course it will be. It'll be the movie that teenage girls' fathers send dates. You know, they'll let the dates watch that. Boy, this movie is 100% true.
It's Pillow Pants, the movie.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
You had to go there.
Sorry, but that's the first thing. Like, I'd heard about it back, I guess, last Sundance or so. You know, sounds interesting. And then I saw Clerks 2, and you can't miss the correlation.
Nice.
All right, and then Thomas King. Who makes a movie based off of a painting that's not like... we're not talking about like Girl with the Pearl Earring kind of based on a movie.
Yeah, this is like Dogs Playing Poker, the movie.
Whistler's Mother, the movie.
See, Dogs Playing Poker could be good depending on who you got to voice it.
Ooh. Oh. This is high concept heaven. Why? I shouldn't have said anything. I should be like writing 20th Century Fox right now and being like Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn.
I was thinking like Billy Bob Thornton. Just like get the dirtiest people you can.
Billy Bob Thornton would be like a big pit bull with just slobbery jowls. I could see that.
And Samuel L. Jackson. And, dude, this could be fun.
Yeah, and Bernie Mac. Yeah, get R rating. And yeah.
Or we
Bob
could just
Saget's
go on the next week.
Be like the little short dog that they just let in. It's funny.
After the Aristocrats, yeah, I could see that.
Nice.
Yeah, there's nothing this weekend I want to see. Yeah. Nothing.
All right, let's move on to December 7th, which I'm guessing is the first one I missed. Stefan?
No, I'm actually, you're good until Christmas Day.
Oh, cool. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, December 7th, you got the highly, highly hyped His Dark Materials, The Golden Compass, the new film by George Clooney, Leatherheads, and Grace Is Gone, a critically acclaimed film starring John Cusack.
Oh, well, there you go. We got Cusack. We're good.
Yeah, this is the year of Cusack.
Apparently, this is his Oscar to be performance. Everybody says that this is his movie and he's fantastic and I can't wait to see Grace Is Gone. It's supposed to be so good.
It's going to be better than 1408. I love 1408.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's going to be good. Leatherheads looks good too. This is Clooney and it's John Krasinski from The Office in the lead role, co-starring Renee Zellweger. It's a period football romantic comedy. Apparently it's about the origins of football, the actual game when it started to really kick off in America, and John Krasinski plays his new quarterback. Yeah, apparently it's supposed to play like a period Jerry Maguire.
Then I'll have to see that. That's easy. That cast is too good right there. I have to see that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we got December 14th.
Well, we should talk about The Golden Compass, right?
Oh, maybe for 2 seconds, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I could care less. That's all I
said. Yeah, okay, yeah, same here.
Yeah.
What were you saying, sir?
It's like before a series of books or something? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently. But you were saying something else before we cut you off.
Well, did I? Oh, I don't even know. I bet. Okay.
I read The Golden Compass, and I got to say, I was not impressed with it as a book, and I can't even imagine it working as a movie. I mean, on the written page, when the gigantic warrior panda starts talking, you know,
Say that again. Just that one sentence. Say that again.
On the written page, when the gigantic warrior panda starts talking, I could roll with it. As a movie, I don't think so, no.
It's voiced by Forrest Whitaker. Come on.
Are you kidding, or is that...
I don't know, just gigantic warrior panda, somehow I... It's like not Forrest Whitaker. Go figure.
Yeah, because I was going to say, was Lawrence Fishburne doing something, or...
Yeah, you know,
Lawrence Fishburne or Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go to more crap on December 14th.
December 14th, there's one potentially interesting film, two stinkers. I'll start with The Perfect Holiday. This is the one where a woman falls in love with a department store Santa. Okay. And then there's Alvin and the Chipmunks, starring Jason Lee and a bunch of CGI rodents.
That eat their own poop. I'm just saying.
And that's just in the trailer, folks. Wait till you see the whole movie. And finally...
That's going bad places.
Yeah. And then finally, Francis Lawrence's adaptation of Richard Matheson's masterpiece, I Am Legend, starring Will Smith and some other celebrity that we don't know, but some crazy surprise celebrity cameo is supposedly one of the highlights of the film.
And then, well, we also have Juno, which has been getting a lot of buzz, too.
Yes, the new film by Jason Reitman, who directed Thank You for Not Smoking, and, Thank You for Smoking. And Juno's with Michael Cera.
Ellen Page. That's why I want to see it.
I love Jason Bateman.
Yeah. She has just been, like, amazing in everything she's been so far.
Oh, Hard Candy. My gosh. What a horrifying performance. She was so good in that film.
Indeed. And she was one of the few highlights of X-Men 3.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you also have Youth Without Youth on this list. How could I miss that? I can't wait to see that. The new film by Francis Ford Coppola, his first film in 10 years with Tim Roth.
Yeah.
Have to see that. Great actor, great director. Have to see it.
Yeah, the trailer has me hooked. I love any trailer that looks intriguing but does not give away the whole plot. I love trailers like that. I really do.
Big question, though. Is I Am Legend going to suck?
I think it's going to be disappointing. Robot?
I mean, is it going to be iRobot? Because I can't do that.
Well, from what I've read, and this is interesting, and this has me thinking at least they're trying to do it right, because really no one has done this right. By right, I mean like going really strictly towards the Richard Matheson novel, which I think is one of the great, great, great genre novels of all time. It's a total masterpiece. Apparently the first hour of I Am Legend is almost completely without dialogue. It's just, you know, it's Will Smith doing the whole Castaway thing. It's just him and a dog, which is exactly how the book is. It has no dialogue for the first 100 pages or so. It's just this character surviving in this atmosphere, which I think is interesting. And apparently they do some really visually interesting stuff. I mean, honestly, like yourself, I can't help but think about iRobot.
Yeah.
Just, you know, is this going to be another Will Smith fest?
Yeah. How does he keep taking these classic pieces of literature and turning them into these, let's make our budget back the first weekend and not worry about it movies?
Yeah.
It's got to be better than the Charlton Heston one, though.
Well, you know, in iRobot's defense, if you can walk away from the book, it actually is a pretty fun movie.
But it is a fun movie.
iRobot.
I know. Yeah. People are like, well, how does it compare to the book? I'm like, there isn't a single explosion in iRobot, the book.
Really? Yeah. The thing is, Will Smith is actually a very good actor. I mean, you know, Six Degrees of Separation, Ali, even Pursuit of Happiness. I mean, the guy can really, really act. So it's a shame that he has to, you know, rely on his Fresh Prince of Bel-Air persona, you know, in a lot of these films like Wild Wild West and iRobot, you know, when he could really play a character that could really seem like he's a part of this world as opposed to someone who's just, you know, kind of almost commenting on the special effects.
Yeah. Okay, I'm hoping for the best, but yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the 21st of December.
Okay, we got National Treasure, Book of Secrets, because we all want National Treasure too. P.S. I Love You, the new film by Richard LaGravese. That's, with Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler. It's a romantic drama. Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, the new film starring John C. Reilly, co-written, by Judd Apatow. And Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, the musical directed by Tim Burton.
Yes. I love
it. Yeah.
I first saw it on Showtime in sixth grade with Angela Lansbury and what's his name? I can't remember.
Glenn Carew.
Yes. Dude, yeah. I love that.
Yes. Yeah, Sweeney Todd is an awesome musical. It's about time they made it into a movie, and they couldn't have picked a better director, better cast. I mean, to me, this is almost like foolproof.
I want to see Walk Hard.
I do, too. It looks funny.
The trailer.
I was not over the moon about Walk the Line. I liked it, but I've only seen it once, and I don't ever care to see it again. So a movie that just steps all over those musical biopics, and to me, they're so by the numbers at this point. Yeah, I'm all over it.
Well, he's like, let's go play Machete Catch. That's all I need. National Treasure. The first one was okay if you could finally completely and totally shut your brain off.
Completely.
But
it was a good, dumb movie. It was a fun, dumb movie.
And this looks like, to me, it looks like another fun, dumb movie. I mean, they're going to kidnap the president of the United States of America. Helen Mirren is in it. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But yeah, I'm willing to see if they can top the first one, which shouldn't take a whole lot.
And really, could it be worse than Ghost Rider?
No. No, it really could not. There's no way it could be worse than Ghost Rider. No. No. I understand Helen Mirren did this because she was hoping to be on a Burger King glass.
She may get her wish.
It's like Ben Kingsley being in Blood Rain because he wanted to fight with swords.
What about? Come on.
I don't know.
It's pretty astonishing that Helen Mirren went from her Oscar-winning portrayal of the Queen to a Nicolas Cage, Jerry Bruckheimer action sequel.
All right, let's move on to Christmas Day, which apparently I completely missed.
Okay, well, Christmas Day, you've got There Will Be Blood, the new film by Paul Thomas Anderson starring Daniel Day-Lewis. Can't wait to see that. And Rob Reiner's The Bucket List.
I haven't even heard of that yet.
Really? The Bucket List? That's Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. It's a comedy. They're two patients who are apparently dying of a disease, and they decide to, before they kick the bucket, hence the title, they're going to do everything on their list that they've always wanted to do, like skydiving and bungee jumping and just really deadly, dangerous stuff. It's a comedy by Rob Reiner, and apparently it's like the best thing he's done in years, like probably since The American President, you know, after years of crap like Alex and Emma. And
Story of Us.
Rumor has it. Yeah, apparently this is a real return to form for him. The script is supposedly really good. The trailer, I thought, was pretty good.
That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. So there's that, and then also open the same day, apparently limited release, but Woody Allen's Cassandra's Dream with Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell. The word is that from all the film festivals that have shown this is a really good film. It's a serious film, and it returns to the dark territory of Match Point as opposed to the fluffy, crappy comedy area of, like, Scoop.
And just for Barry, we've whined about Match Point being $20 for crappy release many times. It's in the $4 bin at Walmart now.
Ooh, see, I'll get it now. $4 for just the movie, that's fine. That's how much like a VHS tape used to cost. So that's fine, yeah.
Pardon?
Cheaper than a matinee.
Absolutely.
This is very true, yes. All right, and then, I don't know, it seems like we're ending the year with a whimper and not a bang.
Well, you know, I'm sure most of us are going to be like either seeing Sweeney Todd or, you know, Walk Hard for the fifth or sixth time and avoiding movies like, say, Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
No, this is Predator, the movie we should have gave you the first time.
Oh, I got to say, that poster cracks me. Have you seen it? It looks like the worst, like, 20th Century Fox ornament ever, you know, with the alien and the Predator wrapped around the planet Earth. I'm like, oh, I just want to put that on a Christmas tree.
I thought it looked like a really messed up yin and yang.
I can see that.
Just saying.
And then what looks interesting, Mike Nichols. Can't believe I couldn't think of his name. Mr. Diane Sawyer, Mike Nichols, his new film, Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts. Denzel Washington directing The Great Debaters, a film about Great Debaters. And The Water Horse, The Legend of the Deep. With a little CGI
Loch Ness Monster. Wants a horse in a lifetime. I've seen that trailer a few times too.
Okay, I'm guessing you're going to go see Alien. You're going to go see Requiem.
Yes, I believe I am, because that R-Band trailer was everything I really wanted in the first movie. I like the story, the germ of the story they had for the first one that sort of tied it all in was kind of nice. And if the rest of the movie had kicked ass, it would have been fun. This one looks like it's going to kick ass. Whether or not it's got a story, it's got what looks like a young Ellen Ripley clone, so that's fine by me. Who is that actor? She looks like Sigourney Weaver.
I know, I don't know, but she is, really close.
Sigourney Weaver's hot, so you can't go wrong there.
Absolutely.
And they're not calling it AVP, so also, there's another plus in its favor.
That's true. If they're
getting Dark Horse Comics, this could be some real fun.
Oh, the original series, that would have made the most badass movie of all time.
Yeah, no question.
But here's the really interesting thing that makes me kind of be okay about this. Apparently, Paul Whatscript Anderson has absolutely nothing to do with this movie.
Yay!
I knew you'd love it for that reason alone. Right here, I thought of you, baby. I thought of you.
He's too busy defecating over Death Race 2000 as we speak.
And the Long Good Friday, too. Isn't he doing that, too?
That little worm. I swear. You guys can bitch about Uwe Boll all you want. Paul Anderson, man.
I was just about to ask you, how long before they combine their forces?
That's actually the fifth sign of the apocalypse.
That, for me, would be an Alien versus Predator matchup that would truly make me just tremble with fear.
Wow.
So okay, basically, you're the water horse then that week.
You know, okay, so we got to talk about Alien vs. Predator just a little bit more.
Okay.
It seems like this kind of flies in the face of everything that happened in the Aliens movies.
Yeah.
Which is kind of messed up.
Yeah, goodbye continuity. Speaking of the Friday the 13th movies, it's like, there's no logic, no timeline anymore.
Yeah. If the aliens are completely eradicated from the planet Earth, including all the people that saw them, it could still tie into continuity, which is how they did it for the Batman alien crossover they did.
Okay.
Except Batman got to live, because you can't kill Batman.
Of course. No, no. Okay, I guess I could deal with that. But yeah, that's the part that nags at me, because I love aliens.
And I like the way they brought in Lance Henriksen for the last one. I did. I thought that was, you know, I thought that was intriguing. But
well, it's like what Flynn said. You know, there are existing storylines that would be great for a film adaptation. They're just kind of dumping them all by the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You can do better than this, guys. Who cares if they've sold millions of copies? Ah.
I think that's why. Which studio is putting this out? I forget.
Who?
The Alien vs. Predator.
Oh, but Fox.
Okay, Fox. I think Fox put the complete kibosh because you can't buy those original stories anymore. They won't allow Dark Horse to reprint them. I think it's because they know they're better stories.
What weasels.
I got to dig out some of my comics then.
Yeah, I used to have the first issue of the first Aliens vs. Predator signed by the artist at one point.
And you don't anymore?
I don't know what happened to it.
Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah, well, you know, such is life. The joys of living in L.A. So there's our year-end look ahead.
And if that just doesn't excite you, remember, January 4th, the remake of One Missed Call.
Ooh. Oh. You promise? Yeah. You're not just teasing me with this.
No. Shannon Sossaman and Edward Burns, January 4th. The poster is creepy. The poster is seriously creepy. The movie, we'll see.
I understand it's the most... The most commercial Mia Kay film that could possibly be made, but why?
Mm.
The movie wasn't that good in the first place.
No,
because
it was...
if they didn't remake something, they'd have to create something new, and we've seen that no one really knows how to do that anymore.
Well, and what are they going to do, Ichi the Killer?
I still think Audition would be cool if they promoted it like a romantic comedy, didn't tell people about the ending. I think that would be so awesome. If they made Audition look like P.S. I Love You.
Or When Harry Met Sally or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be brilliant.
Is Ichi the Killer, the PG remake. Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm.
It's gonna, that could work. I should have said that. I should not have said that.
No, you shouldn't, because that's good. I mean, I watched the R-rated cut, and that was too much for me.
Oh, you got to, that's some, what's the word for that? You need dexterity for that movie. That's what I'll say.
Yeah,
dexterity to cover your eyes when you're watching people's flesh being ripped apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some NyQuil will help because it's very hard to dream when you're in a NyQuil coma.
There we go.
I read that online somewhere. I don't know that for sure.
But if it's on the internet, it's true.
Gotta be true.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Let's talk about what's coming out in theaters next week and move on from there.
Well, let's start with the good stuff. George Clooney is Michael Clayton in the critically acclaimed film finally being released after a healthy circuit around the indie film festivals that have been allowing it to pop up throughout the year. It's supposed to be really good, Michael Clayton. The remake of The Heartbreak Kid by the Farrelly brothers and Ben Stiller apparently returning with bodily fluids in check. This is an R-rated comedy. Apparently, it's supposed to be one of the big sleeper hits of the year. We'll see. For the crap, you've got The Seeker, The Dark is Rising. Sure it is. And then Jennifer Lopez. She's
produced it.
She produced Feel the Noise.
I feel like I need to say holla like the widest I possibly can after you're saying that.
Can you really feel the noise?
You can if you've got a subwoofer.
Okay. This is true. Okay. Okay.
Or if you're saying Transformers in IMAX.
I guess Take the Lead was already a good title that was taken, so Feel the Noise was like the best thing.
It's like Honey, but never mind.
How quiet riots, Scooser.
Okay, it's an okay week.
Yeah. Heartbreak Kid looks really good. I've heard so many funny things about it. The trailers get funnier and funnier, for me at least. And Michael Clayton, I've heard mixed things about, but they say it's like one of the best acted adult dramas of the season. So,
cool.
I'm a foreigner of the Eastern Promises, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like these adult R-rated dramas.
Cool. Yeah. All right, and then let's talk about the DVDs for next week.
Next week DVD, you've got the movie nobody saw last summer, despite the fact that it was CGI and had penguins, surfs up. Another movie people abandoned after 28 weeks later. Alfred Hitchcock Presents Season 3, good stuff.
Great TV show.
The most expensive comedy of all time, Evan Almighty. This is a shocker. Twilight Zone the movie is actually coming to DVD. Wow. This is serious news, because this has been like one of the most requested titles Warner Brothers has ever had, and they're finally releasing it. I can't imagine with any extras, because considering the controversy surrounding this movie, I can't wait to see what they do with it, if anything. A flop, but another critically acclaimed movie, one of Dave's favorites of the year, Rain Over Me with Adam Sandler. The 25th anniversary special edition of Poltergeist. Oh,
yes!
Except, well, I got to talk about the extras, though. That'll fan the flames. And then The Film Crew, the new release from The Film Crew, The Giant of Marathon. You heard that right. The Giant of Marathon.
Always a good time with The Film Crew.
Yes, love those Film Crew guys. The Poltergeist DVD I want to talk about for a second. The only extras you've got are a trailer and a special bonus feature, in which is a little featurette talking about paranormal activities, and that's it.
Are you serious?
That's it. That is absolutely it. On October the 4th, in theaters everywhere, including one in Colorado Springs, they're actually having a screening at 7 o'clock. I know a lot of Cinemark and a lot of other theaters are doing it, you know, kind of like what they did a few years ago with Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween, where they're just going to show this movie in theaters just once. They're going to digitally project it. They're going to show the DVD, and they're going to show the movie's one sole extra, the paranormal featurette. But yeah, otherwise, this movie has no making of featurettes, no commentary, nothing. It's just the paranormal feature.
Retrospective, look back, nothing about the curse of the movie, nothing?
Nothing, not even a tribute to the actors who died during the making of these movies, like Heather O'Rourke. No, nothing.
Wow. So why even call it the 25th anniversary edition?
Well, why not even call it a special edition? But, yeah. I gotta say, I was really disappointed, because I was excited. Even like looking at the cover art, like, oh, this is gonna be like the Close Encounters of the Third Kind special edition that's coming out in a couple months. It looks spectacular. But no, this is... This is a pretty piss-poor effort, I must say.
Shame. It's such a good movie.
I think it's the best haunted house movie ever made, still.
Easily.
Fantastic movie.
Well, I'd rather just pay the $10 to go see it in the theater and then not have to worry about buying it on DVD.
The E! Channel had a making of documentary about the making of the Poltergeist films, and that was riveting. Like, why couldn't they just stuck that on the DVD?
Yeah. And on Twilight Zone, I just looked it up, there are no special features, but it's going to be like $15.
Not even the trailer?
Doesn't look like it.
Oh my gosh.
But it's on widescreen. They could
at least go and get the two episodes, you know, the episodes they remade for the movie. They could have.
That would have been cool.
Something. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Kick the Can and Nightmare at, I think, 40,000 feet. That would have been great.
Yeah, apparently not so much. But you're getting it on DVD.
And this is why they got to let geeks run the DVD division, because we could have come up with all this cool stuff as opposed to like, oh, let's give it a new cover art and...
Well, Criterion would have been made something really interesting.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the thing, though. Criterion would never release Twilight Zone, the movie. Yeah.
They put out Armageddon.
And The Rock. So, no, you're absolutely right. You're right. I shouldn't judge Criterion. They are capable of...
Doing something more mainstream.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. Because I own The Rock, dang it.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a cool... Movie. It's got... Yeah, and it's got DTS, dude.
Hmm.
Oh, that explosion! That explosion's beautiful in that movie. It's
exactly.
A great explosion in San Francisco. Oh.
Yeah, with the surround sound DTS just rattling the entire house. It's beautiful. So yeah, there's some cool stuff coming, but yeah, some of it's kind of disappointing still too.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I mentioned, that seriously, that Close Encounters of the Third Kind special edition that's coming out in November, it's going to knock everybody's socks off. It's got all three versions of the movie. It's got tons and tons of extras, making of stuff, test footage that they got rid of, alien footage that didn't work that they tossed. I've actually seen it. It's amazing, some of the stuff that they've done. This is going to be like one of the DVD releases of the year, and I can't believe they didn't do it for the other Spielberg movie. Yeah.
Well,
if we're talking about super editions.
Well, Tobe Hooper, the ghost director...
Yeah, basically. That is such a tragedy. Both of those movies, they're such good movies. They still come up on cable all the time. Nothing. I blame VHS people for this. I blame. DVDs used to be packed, especially New Line stuff when it first came out. There was no this edition, then here's the special, then here's the catchphrase slogan version. DVDs were laser discs for us, and then the VHS people jumped on board, and then they started making multiple versions. It's bumming me out.
Yeah. But we've also got Blade Runner coming up soon, too, don't we?
That's right. Yeah, another super, super duper special edition.
Are you going to buy the briefcase?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely I am. Come on.
You're going to get the HD DVD version, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, I am now. Thank you, September 3rd. Yes.
Woo! Yes, you're making the jump to high def, which I won't be making for a long time now.
Mm. Well, the only reason I am is because my DVD player is dying, and I was actually more able to convince my wife to go along with the HD DVD versus the multi-region because she knows how much stuff I would order if I got a multi-region player. So it's actually cheaper to order the HD DVD player.
Oh, bummer. Dude, you can get a region free for $40.
I know.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, ixnay on the region free.
I still listen to cassette tapes and buy used VHS copies, so I basically just have to upgrade to the 21st century at this point.
Hey, if it's not on DVD, you know, I still got some VHS tapes. Yes, indeed, I do.
Absolutely, yeah, because I'm not going to wait for them to release Night of the Creeps, man. I'm just going to watch my copy.
See, and they won't, Alfalfa's dead. That's just fantastic.
Well, it's like I held on my copy of Citizen Kane until the day they released it on DVD. I'm like, why is this not out? And then they finally did, and I dumped it quicker than I could.
Where's my Jason Priestley, Peter Reigart, Cold-Blooded? Damn it, where's that on DVD?
Wow.
That's just
Where
me.
That
so, that's just me. Sorry. Jason Priestley is a hitman. It's really, really good. It's amazing how good that movie is. Janine Garofalo is in it as a prostitute somewhere. It's fantastic.
Wow. Well, if we're going to like do the whole 90210 drama spinoffs that no one saw, I gotta give some props for Terminal Bliss, the Luke Perry after-school special Don't Smoke Marijuana or You'll Kill Your Best Friend movie.
That happens to me every time. You think I stopped doing it? Running out of friends. That's why you guys are doing this by Skype, because if I was there and I just decided I'm just going to toke up, I'd kill the both of you, because it's just what happens every time.
I'm so glad we took these safety precautions, Dave.
Yeah. And will forever, yes.
That's you have to frisk Billy whenever he comes over now.
Yes, exactly. Wow, I think that'll wrap it up for this week. We actually don't have mail for a change, which it's a long episode. So, well,
that's
I was
so
a slacker and didn't get the show up till like 2 days ago.
Okay, we just haven't opened our mail yet. Okay, that's cool. That's like Santa Claus. He just hasn't gotten to all the letters from the kids yet. You know, it's not like the kids stopped writing to Santa Claus. That would just make me cry.
I'm going to write to Fred Claus.
Ooh.
Now I'm going to cry.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you'd like to email us, you can hit us at podcast@screengeeks.com or Dave or Barry at screengeeks.com. Check out Geek Label Radio because... Well, I'm guessing most of the people who listen are probably already Geek Label listeners. But
if you're not, you need to convert now.
Yeah, those guys rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Not that you have any affiliation.
I have no ulterior motives whatsoever, sir.
Completely unbiased party over there.
I'm a bastion of purity.
Yeah, well, you know, we're glad to contribute to your minor internet celebrity status.
And I do appreciate that.
Yeah. But yeah, check them out, geeklabel.com. I have no bell. Sorry. Ding.
Thank you.
Yes. Cool. So, yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, we'll figure this out at some point. But thank you for joining us very much, sir.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It was a pleasure.
Yes, cool. Well, until next week, this is Dave.
And this is Barry.
You're listening to Screen Geeks Radio. Take it easy.